Welcome to Books and Beyond with your hosts, Karen and Louisa. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
I know this girl, and she works in a library, yeah. Standing there behind the counter, willing to help with all the problems that I encounter. Helps me find Hemingway, helps me find Genet, helps me find Brett, helps me find Chandler.
Kia ora, listeners. Kia ora, Louisa. Kia ora, Karen. It's Mental Health Awareness Week, an annual event run by the Mental Health Foundation of New Zealand, which wants to encourage all Kiwis to consider placing a greater priority on their mental health and to look at the tools and opportunities available to ensure their mental well-being is the best it can be. Which tools, you'll be hearing in a minute, include books. How could that not be, right, Louisa?
It is Books and Beyond, Karen.
It is Books and Beyond, everywhere. So this year's theme for Mental Health Awareness Week is Let Nature In, Strengthen Your Well-Being. And taken from the Mental Health Awareness website, spending time in nature makes us feel good, decreases feelings of depression and anxiety, improves concentration, buffers against stress, makes lives meaningful, speeds recovery from tough times, and reduces health inequalities related to poverty.
Excellent. And we were really pleased to see on the HAW website a good read section with a list of their own recommended reads for connecting our well-being with nature. So here is our top 10 choices from that list, all of which you will be pleased to hear are available at Auckland Libraries.
Number one, Beloved by Emma Ferry. So we're starting with a homegrown title because Emma is a resident of Mirawai, although her book, she explains, came to life while she was sitting on a rock in Karitane Beach near Dunedin. The rock was her touchstone while she was dealing with the death of her mother. She started to love rocks and began collecting them, which she then sold as soul stones carved with words. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's beautiful.
The writer said she shared the blessings with a friend after about 2 years of these hard times following her mother's sickness and death, and the friend suggested putting them in a book to help others, which is exactly what we're talking about. The book was released last year, and it includes 26 blessings she wrote during this time and photography of Karitane Beach and Mirawai. Beautiful photography, I might say.
Oh, great. Well, my book perhaps isn't so moving. Vitamin N. So it's not a vitamin that we've never heard of. It is the essential guide to a nature-rich life. So Richard Louv was the first, I think, to bring to the attention the alienation of children from the natural world and coining the term nature deficit disorder, outlining the benefits of strong nature connections, from boosting mental health acuity and creativity to reducing obesity and depression from our children's lives. So a more of a practical book, perhaps.
Yes, I did look at that one when I saw vitamin N. I thought, let's check up on the science here. Where are we going with this? Until I read the blurb. Yeah, yeah. It just sounds really good.
It's very
about having fun. He wants children to have fun with nature. So what number are we up to? Three, perhaps?
Yeah.
The Nature Fix, Why Nature Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Creative by Florence Williams. This is a book also for people who love traveling because it will take you from forest trails in Korea to islands in Finland to eucalyptus groves in California, where Williams investigates the science behind nature's positive effects on the brain.
Oh, well, that's one for me. Thank you, Karen. I've got The Artful Mindful Bird Watching, Reflections on Freedom and Being, which I think is a book you wanted to read.
Yes.
Or tell us about.
Well, I like The Artful. According to my list here, it's called The Art of Mindful Bird Watching. But you would certainly be doing it artfully if you were doing mindful bird watching. I actually adore bird watching, but I don't know how to identify more than a handful of birds. So I'm not one of those with the notebook that ticks off. I'm not a real bird watcher, I suppose.
Well, but, this one is for the inexperienced.
Oh, great. That's for me.
Watcher. Yeah. So there you go. What else have we got here?
Well, I've got up to now How to Raise a Wild Child, The Art and Science of Falling in Love with Nature. This one's by a dinosaur paleontologist. We've got such a great mix here. A science communicator and a passionate advocate for connecting people with nature named Scott Sampson. So Scott reveals how adults can help kids fall in love with nature, enlisting technology as an ally. So instead of fighting your kids' use of technology, enlist it as an ally. Take advantage of urban nature and instilling a sense of place along the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got another local a book.
Good on you.
Te Ao Māori and the Natural World. It's actually from published by Te Ara, the Encyclopedia of New Zealand. In traditional Māori knowledge, the weather, birds, fish, trees, sun and moon are related to each other and to the people of the land, the tangata whenua. We live in a truly interconnected world, and a vast family of which humans are children of the earth, sky, and cousins, and to all living things. So this is an understanding of this spiritual and natural world and our place in it. So really interesting read for all of us.
And it's illustrated, I believe, isn't it? Didn't it say something about having really good illustration? I'm always big on illustrated books.
I'm sorry, Karen, I haven't read it, so I don't know.
Well, in the blurb on the website, it says, let me finish it. In the blurb on the website, which I led you to be able to respond to, it says, in this richly illustrated book, Māori scholars
and writers.
Oh, you
have more info than me. You've researched more than I have.
I have. Share the traditional knowledge passed down the generations by word of mouth. It provides a unique window of the relationship of the people of the land with their environment. So my next book is Blue Mind, The Surprising Science That Shows You How Being Near, In, On, or Underwater Can Make You Happier, Healthier, More Connected, and Better at What You Do, by W.J. Nichols, a marine biologist. So I was really pleased I got this book, came up in my list, because I've actually had this book out. You know, as an oceanographer's daughter, I think I was a bit of a sucker, a built-in sucker for this book. But I did find it, there are some parts were improbable. It's, you know, it's a bit over the top, as you can tell perhaps by the five-line title. But I was seduced by this one really great part. I think we should start this up. I don't know, is it already happening in Auckland? So
have you already checked it out, have you?
I have indeed.
Good on you.
But I haven't done the most important part about reading Blue Mind. So Blue Mind has become a movement. And the movement of Blue Mind is to pass a, so it's worldwide, it's happening all around the world, and it's set out to pass a blue marble through every person's hand on Earth. I believe it's already gone through the Dalai Lama. Who did they name as well? I don't know. I'm not going to say an American Supreme Court justice, but anyway.
Okay, so it's on its way to New Zealand, is it? This
possibly,
marble?
Maybe already is in New Zealand. So it wants to pass a blue marble through every person's hand on Earth with a simple message of gratitude. It's a low-tech, slow-motion global art project and a reminder that everything we do on this water planet matters. So there's only three rules. The marble must be blue, any shade, but preferably made of recycled glass. I used to collect recycled glass at the beach, you know, little pieces of, flotsam and jetsam glass. When you get one, you give it away to someone as a token of gratitude whenever and wherever you like. And then you share your story with the world however you like. So I quite like, if somebody wants to pass me a blue marble, or I might keep myself for one and pass
please
it to you.
Please pass it to me. Yeah.
Okay.
I actually, on my bus ride into work every day, really enjoy that view out the window along the Northwestern Motorway, and I really soak up the beauty of our Waitemata Harbour.
Yeah.
No matter whether it's stormy, blue or calm, it's that connection with nature, and it really sets me off for the day. So yeah, I'm totally in there with the Blue Marble movement.
And Blue Mind.
And Blue Mind. Makes me want to sing a song, actually.
What does it sound like? It sounds like one of the songs we did for New Zealand Music Month. Was it? What is it?
Yeah, the first song. Anyway, I'm going to talk about the ecology of happiness first, and then we might come back to the blue song.
I just remembered. It's the very first one we did, the first recording ever made in New Zealand, Blue Nice. Boo. Well, we'll get to it. Go ahead.
Okay. So The Ecology of Happiness, another happiness book. And so Eric Lambin uses different strategies in addressing environmental concerns. He asks readers to consider that there may be no better reason to value and protect the health of the planet than for your own personal well-being.
Sounds good. My next book is Unseen City, The Majesty of Pigeons and the Discreet Charm of Snails and Other Wonders of the Urban Wilderness. So I've also had this book out, Louisa, because it was The Discreet Charm of Snails. My bird watching does not include pigeons. I think once you're over five, nobody really bird watches pigeons. But I did like The Discreet Charm of Snails. It's a sweet book. It's one of those books you could call sweet. The father walking his daughter to daycare and experiencing nature with her. But I wanted to say, if you are also intrigued by The Discreet Charm of Snails, I'm going to put out a recommendation for a wonderful book called The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating by Elizabeth Tova Bailey, which is about a woman confined to her bed by illness who experiences a connection with a snail eating violets in a plant next to her bed and turns into an entire bug.
Wow.
But let me not hold this up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I actually wanted to mention, I recall when I lived in Spain, the lack of being such a sort of urban environment, I really missed the sound of the birds chirping, greeting me in the morning, whereas in New Zealand, it's very much a very,
yes,
it's a cacophony,
it
especially at this time of year. And it's just a lovely way to wake up. But number 10 on our list is Rambling On, A Celebration of Walking in New Zealand by Z.R. Southcombe.
It's Z, I just happen to know, because Z is a wonderful person who actually presented this book at Central Library. And she talked, she's a really interesting person, and she has a website you can go and visit. So she talked about, speaking of Mental Health Awareness Week, she's talked about, on her website, talks about her problems with depression and anxiety. And one of the things she describes really well that really affected me was how she finds that people find it really hard to believe, because she comes across as very confident and sensible, but that she could also be depressed or anxious. So I thought it was a really good reminder of, not taking people at face value.
Thank you for sharing that, Karen, because she doesn't mention this in her book, an illustrated anthology celebrating New Zealand's favourite recreational activity of walking. And she does this through personal essays, interviews, and cute little illustrations and poetry, encouraging people to walk for their physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. And this is a wonderful book, a book I have read, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it perfectly represents hashtag MHAW's message of incorporating nature into our lives for our well-being. And these are simple things we can do. For example, in the section on slowing down, which we've already discussed, the use of walking as a mode of transport, and why not? It was the weather getting better, you know. Why don't we give it a try? And her father, she's even got her father contributing in the book. He has a piece on dog walking. Under the keep learning section is a suggestion on trying walking tours around our own city. And that made me think, well, true, we travel the world and we join these walking tours and we find them so interesting. But we have our own in Auckland, which Z has tried, a guided walk around Auckland's historical sites. But it was the tramping section that really captured my attention, because I sort of got this blast from the past moment. On page 66, is the Happy Wanderer poem, which I immediately started singing in my mind. It took me back to my 20-year-old self. I had this broken heart. I'd just broken up with my first boyfriend. I had no friends. I was lonely. And somehow I hooked up with some old school friends who were in a local tramping club, so I reluctantly sort of joined in. Thought, oh, okay, I'll give it a go. And what a great move. My year went from the most unhappy to one of my best. Every long weekend we left Auckland to tramp somewhere in our beautiful country. The most memorable tramp was 2 weeks tramping the Nelson Lakes in the South Island over a New Year holiday period. So I highly recommend tramping to everyone. Anyone can do it. And to everyone for their well-being.
And recommend Z's book.
And I recommend Z's book. It's lovely.
Yeah, the book really fits with, I've looked at the chapter headings. It's interesting. They really tie in with the five actions. So hashtag MHAW's website gives you lists, five ways to well-being in nature. These are the five actions that we should be building into our day-to-day lives. And they are connect, me faka fanonga, give, tukua, take notice, me arotonu, keep learning, me akotonu, be active, me koritonu. And, you know, when I read these, the first book that I thought of, I'm just going to take us on quickly to another book, was Reasons to Stay Alive by Matt Haig. This is the take notice way. Number three, me arotonu. So Matt Haig, for those who don't know, is a best-selling novelist. I think most people probably have heard the name. He's been on our Auckland Library's Top 100 a few times, at least once, maybe a few times, no, once. This is a memoir that he wrote a few years ago about 3 years that he spent under the effects of a major depressive disorder. And it's also a philosophical treatise on how to make the most of your time on Earth, according to him. He's very humble, very personal, and very funny, and very brave. And in the preface, he tells us, it's really great, he tells us about how the book is going to be about his misery. And he says, this is to show his sense of humor, like, well, sense of humor and his caring. Misery, like yoga, is not a competitive sport. But I have found over the years that by reading about other people who have suffered, survived, and overcome despair, I have felt comforted. It has given me hope. I hope this book can do the same. And my favorite part of the book I'm going to share is the part where he actually talks about how to stop time, which he says, we feel an urgency to get on with things because time is short, but actually time doesn't have to be short. So you can get rid of that frenzy by realizing that you can actually lengthen time by being aware of things and being aware of ourselves. He quotes Kurt Vonnegut. I'm amazing. Didn't expect this from Kurt Vonnegut, a thing called the amber of the moment. So it's about living in the present. And he's got this wonderful thing, these five, it's a poem, I consider it a poem, and it's called Self-Help, and it says, how to stop time, kiss, how to travel in time, read, how to escape time, music, how to feel time, write, how to release time, breathe.
Oh, that's really good. That is very powerful. Thank you, Karen. Well, I want to talk about the connect theme, connecting with others, I guess. So when we think of connecting with people and mental health well-being, you can't help but think of comedian Mike King. He is such a champion, an honest, open voice with a caring heart. Well, that's how he comes across to me. His Key to Life charity aims to eliminate suicide in New Zealand. His ambassador work started as the Nutters Club, a weekly radio show, which he encouraged. It's a forum for people to share their mental health stories. And in his 2006 book, also titled The Nutters Club, Mike tells this really cool story of how the Nutters Club came about, where his journey to being the face of mental health in New Zealand, I guess, began. And if you don't mind bearing with me, I shall just pull out my copy of The Nutters Club and read to you this piece that he wrote. Okay, sorry, here we go. The turning point came. So this is he's talking about the fear that someone would discover his dirty little secret, his depression. So the turning point came to me several months later when I was filling in for Martin Crump as a late night talk back host on a new radio station in Auckland. With no callers on the line, I began waffling on about various topics, pretending that people were waiting to talk to me while going to ad breaks in order to buy myself time. Eventually, I ran out of ads and ran out of topics, and on the verge of panic, I confessed all the lines were free, and if no one called in, I would just start talking to the voices in my head. And for the next 5 minutes, that's exactly what I did. When I finally looked down at the phone lines, we had a full board of callers wanting to talk about their mental health problems, and as they shared their stories, I shared mine. By the end of the week, the Nutters Club was born. I call depression the selfish disease, because when you were going through it, you truly believe you are the only one in the world who has ever had it. It is the loneliest place on earth. The Nutters Club is a place where people share their stories, and by sharing their experiences, they let others know they are not alone. They make it okay for others to share stories. I used the fear of being exposed as someone with a mental illness, but thanks to all the people who shared their stories with me, I can honestly say I am proud to be a nutter. And then this book goes on to share those stories from other nutters. So isn't he great?
He is great, and it's a really good book. I can also put my recommendation in because I stole it off your desk yesterday and had a read.
I know.
You can't put it down. He's just speaking directly to you. It's really, really great. Another book that I can say speaks directly to you, although to different people will speak to different aspects of them, but I had to bring it in. I think it's become a classic of its genre. So this is Jenny Lawson. Do you know who Jenny Lawson is? The bloggist. Famous to a lot of people as the bloggist. So it's called Furiously Happy, a funny book about horrible things. So Jenny Lawson is known for being very funny, often sardonic, but often hysterical.
So another comedian as well, like Mike.
No, I don't think so. I think she's just, so she suffers from depression, anxiety, avoidant personality disorder, and obsessive compulsive disorder. And she finds that the best way for her to deal with this is, and she's encouraging people to embrace absurdity. And she has the line that I loved in this book. So there were parts of it that were, for me, a bit over the top with the stuffed ferrets. But she had this wonderful line: if you're going to make a mistake, make a big one, all of them. And I just thought, leave them talking about you. I just thought that was so right. So I've adopted that.
She's made an impression.
Yeah, she has. She's really good. So in this book, so that's all the funny kind of part of her. But she has a really, really touching part that I thought about this for the Connect way of the five ways. And this is the thing about her, the 25th person, the 24th person. So she carries around with her a folder of letters from 24 people who have written her to say that they had been considering suicide and that they had, been able to get out of this trap by, she says, not so much by reading my blog, although they did read the blog, but by the comments that other people had left on her blog that they felt that were sharing their experience. And she says that when she goes and does book talks, even now, people will come up to her in the book signing line and they'll lean over and they'll whisper to her, I'm choking up, I'm number 25.
Oh,
I know. I said, that is so wonderful. So yeah, so that's Furiously Happy, Jenny Lawson. Over to you, Louisa.
Oh, okay. I think we're still on the Connect theme. Or shall I say I'm on the active
theme? I thought we were moving to active.
Yeah.
So I was saying, over to you, Louisa,
okay.
Be active.
Yeah, actually, in honesty, we're still on the Connect theme, but we'll pretend we're on the active theme.
We're on both.
I've got Sir John Kirwan's All Blacks Don't Cry book. So before Mike King, he was another high-profile male, well, actually a sporting icon, really, willing to share his story about depression and really wanting to help others who are going through the same. So it's also very honest. He's encouraging others to share their stories. And on page 62, it's just a little bit I wanted to share. He says, since I've begun sharing my experience of depression, I've been privileged to hear the stories of many other people. Often they've been too scared to ever tell anyone about it in case they were told, oh, you're crazy. So when someone comes to me and they're really unwell, they get a lot of relief straight away because all of a sudden the weird and the wonderful things that their brain has been tricking them about gets put into perspective. Phew, that's good. It's not just me, they realise.
Yeah.
So same thing is what Jenny's talking about. So when someone can take a little bit of time, when someone can take a little bit of that fear away, you start on the track to wellness. And yeah, it's well done, Sir John Kirwan, for starting the conversations.
Absolutely, absolutely. And hate to move away from Connect because it is such a major thing here and we're enjoying it and books are all about that. But I do have one also on learning. Because I'm always big on learning and keeping learning. And my book is Think Like a Freak by Stephen Levitt and Stephen Dubner, who you may recognize.
The Freakonomics people.
The Freakonomics guys, Stephen and Stephen, one with a V and one with a PH. I don't know if they did that on purpose. Anyway, so they've got this great part in here. So the whole book is good. It's about retraining your brain to think in new ways. So it's not, I think the thing about learning, I like the way they're putting an emphasis not just on learning new things, but on learning how to learn and learning how to use your brain. Is that what they often do? They come at things from a sort of a sideways slant.
Mm.
By the way, just wanted to say, speaking of sideways slants, Blue Smoke. The song Blue Smoke Wafting Back to New Zealand. That was what Blue Mind made us think of.
Thank you, Stephen and Stephen, for drawing this out of us.
Lateral thinking. There's always two things going on. Anyway, so Think Like a Child is one of their chapters that I really liked. And he says, so they're wanting you to think like a freak. And he says, to think like a freak means to think small, not big. And he says, why should you do that? Well, because every big problem has been thought about endlessly by people much smarter than we are. The fact that it remains a problem means it's too damned hard to be cracked in full. These are called intractable problems. I'm paraphrasing here. They're just hopelessly complex. So while thinking small won't win you many points to the typical big thinker, there are some noteworthy advocates, and he mentions Isaac Newton and so on. And he says the power of thinking small is that you just so they've got four really good reasons. Small questions are by their nature less often asked than investigated, so they're virgin territory for learning. Since big problems are usually a dense mass of intertwined small problems, you can make more progress by tackling a small piece of the big problem than by flailing away at grand solutions. Am I right? Aren't these great? Number three, any kind of change is hard, but the chances of triggering change on a small problem are much greater than on a big one. And number four, thinking big is, by definition, an exercise in imprecision or even speculation. When you think small, the stakes may be diminished, but at least you can be relatively sure you know what you're talking about. And may that be a lesson to us all.
It's almost a riddle, isn't it? I just can't stop laughing. Well, speaking of laughter, I'm surprised that laughter isn't a pillar of wellness, because we've already had so many of our authors using humor in that conversation about well-being and mental well-being. And so we've all heard laughter is the best medicine after all. So when I was researching for the show, I did do some research, by the way, I visited Mike King's The Nutters Club Facebook page. He's still the comedian, and amongst the posts about his suicide prevention work is everyday humour, and if they don't make you laugh out loud, they will make you smile and chuckle. And as you can tell, I did. And this is my favourite one on his Facebook page. I like the empty toilet roll pic with the caption, "Yes, thank you, children. That should be plenty." So the other funny bit is all the comments tagging their children, all the parents who have tagged their children. And so laughter. So there is laughing yoga. Karen, have you heard that?
No, I haven't, but I think that I was very good at it.
Okay, so I just want to quickly mention a book that is in the library, Everyday Laughter, Healing and Greater Happiness and Wellbeing, which I picked up thinking there'd be a few jokes. But actually, it's a book on laughing yoga, and it's got some few good helpful little tips about why we should laugh and smile in our everyday wellness.
And we certainly should. And that's our show for today. Unfortunately, we've run out of time again. I just want to do, Louisa and I would both like to do a shout out to the Mental Health Foundation of New Zealand and the great work it does all around the country in suicide prevention, in supporting mental health and wellness, in working to end discrimination, provide information, erase stigma, and break down barriers.
Great. Thank you, Karen, for doing that on behalf of me as well, saying that on behalf of me. So thanks, everyone, for joining us today, and keep well.
Ka kite anō. See you next week.
This
is brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz
and catch the program next Sunday at 9:35 p.m.
on 104.6 FM
or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/booksandbeyond.
Every day, 104.6 Planet FM, making connections with your community.